Don't worry about it. I'm realizing that when I introduced the name of the episode, I think I said the wrong
You
name.
said the wrong one, yeah.
You
Do you
said
want me
on
to
the
redo
run.
it? I
No,
know. I
I
was
was
looking at
very
my old
confused.
notes.
I was
I
like, I
didn't
don't
think
think
we
we
were
were
on
on
the
the
run
run
today.
today.
No,
No, this
it's The
episode
Return.
is aptly named
The
The
Return.
Return, given that we took fully
Oh.
a month off.
Hey, actually.
Welcome back to Brain Scramblies, your favorite What We Do in the Shadows rewatch podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm Carson.
I'm Richie.
And I'm Matt.
And this week we have watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Season 2, Episode 7, The Return.
Good. Glad I got that number right. Before we dive into our Richie recap, I just want to give a shout out to people who emailed us. We got 4 emails between this last episode and the one that we're recording right now. Shout out to Izzy, Finn, Kaya, and Abby. Thank you so much for emailing. We really appreciate it. If you want a shout out at the beginning of the show, email brainscramblespod@gmail.com. We love to hear all your thoughts and theories and pictures of your pets. Thank you for sending them in. We really appreciate it. Do we want to go to the Richie recap?
Let's get Richie the recap.
I think Richie should do a Richie can try. So, in this episode of What We Do in the Shadows, kind of revolves around two storylines that are going on between the kind of main vampires and also Colin Robinson. For the main vampires, what we have is the reintroduction of a certain Simon the Devious, who they find living in the sewers of Staten Island after he lured them through this kind of mythical call through the grate. So they invite him back over to their place so he can kind of try to like refresh and get back to his old ways in a positive way. And during that whole time, Laszlo is suspect that he is trying to steal his precious hat. Coming with them is also one of Simon the Devious' only remaining members of his crew, Carol, who's this kind of like very old and scary looking vampire, but she wants to eat Guillermo. Meanwhile, with them, we find out that Simon the Devious was in fact kind of faking it the whole time and trying to get Laszlo's hat. He tries to steal, he tries to run away. But also during that time, we have Guillermo kind of going back to this role of this vampire slayer, whether it be accidental or purposeful. He always finds himself killing vampires now, as he kills Carol, who is aware that that Guillermo is a vampire slayer through his smell. But meanwhile, with this all going on, we also have another storyline going on, which is Colin Robinson doing a little trolling. Colin Robinson, he is taking to the interweb to start draining some energies from people. He is probably the worst Twitter troll you can ever imagine. But in this, he kind of gets caught up with one certain individual who is actually trolling Colin better than he trolls anyone else himself. Eventually, this leads to a kind of conflict. Eventually, it is revealed that this person that Colin Robinson is trying to go after is an actual troll. But Colin Robinson eventually discovers that he can just bore him until the sun eventually comes up. And this troll will turn to stone. I think that's the Richie recap. I probably forgotten some things. I probably over elaborated a bit too much as well.
Seems good. It's a good one.
I'm rusty. Rusty.
I'd like to start off with a suggestion for the future that anytime someone says vampire slayer in reference to Guillermo, somebody has to say slay.
Slay. It's like goodness, girl. I was just going to say that Guillermo has a lot of really good facial expressions in this episode, and they keep cutting back to him like as he's reacting to things, and it's so good every time.
Carol's trying to eat him. Like,
yeah.
His whole interaction with Carol throughout the episode is very good. I think that was probably the highlight of the episode. My shining light would be Guillermo.
Shining light?
Guillermo and Carol's interactions in this episode, which, out the gates, I'll say it, I thought kind of a subpar mid-episode. Especially for season 2.
Yeah, it was just rehashing a season 1 episode, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
A rehashing a not particularly strong season 1 episode, I think. Which is,
I
like, it's not a bad episode.
Yeah. The concept of the hat is funny, but just, like, when it comes back, I don't know. Rich, what were your thoughts?
No, I agree.
I thought the story of the hat was kind of, like, been there, done that. Like, we get it, Simon the Devious wants a hat. But I did really enjoy the Colin Robinson bits.
Yes, okay, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That carries it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, seeing Nick Kroll try to out Matt Berry, Matt Berry is kind of sad too. Because it's like, it just feels like one-upsmanship, but it's like, Matt Berry does this like great New York City line reading. I'm not even going to try because I'm going to absolutely flub it.
I had forgotten that Kroll that was in this episode.
With the same thing. And it's like, but why? Like, he just did that. Like, there's no reason for you to come back with the exact same line reading there.
I don't want to make enemies, but I'm not a big fan of Nick Kroll. I don't think he's that funny.
He's fine.
I don't know. He's fine.
I don't think he's that funny, but I feel like he has a good sense of humor, if that makes sense. I think he probably like a has good taste
sure.
in yeah, what yeah. he thinks is funny. You know what I mean? But he does make me laugh.
No, we don't hit that high bar. You got to really Fosbury flop over to get Richie to laugh. Like, it's difficult.
That is such a niche reference you just made right there.
That was a real strange one that you just whipped out.
I mean, if people don't just know high jump, they're not going to know that at all.
I have no idea. I must have completely missed that. I do not know what high jump is. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Anyway.
So the Fosbury flop is when an athlete... no, go ahead, Claire.
I was just going to say, I think it was a mid-episode. However, I did laugh quite a lot. And there was one moment that made me laugh enough that I was eating during it, and I did choke on some rice, and part of it went down my esophagus, so I had to cough it back up.
What part was that?
It was when... we'll just cut to the chase. It was when they introduced the new members of Nick Kroll's crew, and three of them were Neil, Patrick, and Harris. That was a really good joke, and I did laugh quite a lot.
Okay, I do. Neil Patrick Harris in the month of June, no less.
Straight icon, Barney from How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. We love it. Do we want to start from the beginning when they're getting invited into the sewer, much like at the beginning of It by Stephen King?
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Thank you.
Is that what happens in It?
Yeah, where the little kid, Richie, I believe is his name, he gets his arm torn off by the clown in the sewer. So I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I never saw
it. Is his name really Richie?
I think so.
Damn. How would I not know about this?
Isn't it?
Is it Richie?
I don't know the name.
It's a Richie representation.
I'm not sure. I was just going to say, I really liked the jump cut between when they're getting invited down into the sewer and Laszlo says, I don't think so. And then it just cuts to, we're in a sewer.
Yeah, that is really good.
I also really enjoyed him narrating the sewer talk for us because we couldn't hear it. Because
we wouldn't be able to hear it.
We wouldn't be able to hear it.
As humans.
I liked when Laszlo was like, he said something like, Simon the Devious, I knew it was you. And then Nadja was like, you were literally just saying, who is that? Like, what what are you talking about?
Laszlo repeating the sewer lines to us because we can't understand them reminds me a lot of when, like, my parents are like, oh, this is a CD player, Claire. You wouldn't know what this is. I was like, no, like, I'm not 5 years old. I know what a CD player is.
No, I thought it was funny that when they were going to meet Simon the Devious, Nadja was kind of like polite. He's like, okay, we are walking through your shit pipe.
He had like a grand piano or like a baby grand piano.
A decked out dope sewer piano.
Yeah.
Also, the whole idea of like he was in the sewers of Manhattan and then he obviously had to have gotten out and then gotten on a boat to Staten Island and then gotten back in the sewer just seemed rather silly.
Did the sewers connect?
I mean, certainly not, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, they might.
There's no tunnels underneath.
And there's this.
I also loved like a quick line in there. They were like, to his great shame, they find him in the sewer. It's like, bro, you called them down there. Like, what are you talking about? To your great shame. And I guess it makes sense with later in the episode when you find out that he's just going for the hat. But like, in the moment, I was like,
yeah, he's being real coy about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To my great shame.
And then we have the Colin Robinson setup scene, which I did do some like zoom and enhance on the screen here.
Did it work?
And I was. I was a little bit delighted about it. So basically, he figures out that he can troll people via the internet and get their energy. And apparently, it's a less pure form of energy, but he can still do this. And a lot of what he does is mansplaining people on the internet. He like mansplains a astrophysicist or something. But I just want to shout out the like, I guess the, I don't know, prop design people or something. There's the trends for you section of his Twitter. If you zoom in, the topics are men's opinions, hashtag religion and politics, intellectual dark web, hashtag okay boomer, and Staten Island City Council. So someone had fun there.
Yeah, maybe that's our graphic design besties.
Probably. Shout out. Y'all did a great job.
Shout out the whole Colin Robinson team. I feel like they just have a whole set of people dedicated to him, given his, like, the newsletter and the YouTube videos. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they had, like, a Twitter account.
His crew.
That's what I was wondering, Claire. When you were, like, going through and doing some more deep diving on the actual Twitter, do you see, like, a handle or anything like that?
So it,
like,
was literally had a real one. Just Colin Robinson. Let me check. So there is a Colin Robinson, but the bio is motorsport fanatic from Northern Ireland and member of the British Motorsport Marshals Club. So I don't think it's that
cool
one.
Guy.
Do you think he's...
I don't think that's Colin Robinson.
No. Do you think he's aware?
God, I hope so. There was another... There were a couple of handles that I checked out, but they were all... They all didn't lead anywhere. So... Dang. But I did check.
Man. Elon Musk's new Twitter. It just keeps disappointing.
Come on, they're banning all the good accounts. Also, yeah. Did anybody else write down all the opinions that Colin Robinson had? Because I'm kind of obsessed with him.
I did not.
I had some.
Yeah, he said. He says, well, he's also on TripAdvisor, which I think is good, because there are some fucking annoying-ass people yeah. on TripAdvisor who give the stupidest comments. But here is all the comments that he leaves. Jason Mraz is just too weird for me. Jesus actually hated horses. Childhood obesity, LMFO. Women are getting too tall. And then my personal favorite, someone comments back at him, that is racist. And he says, you're correct, it is.
Yeah, there's a similar one of like the how space works. Like, actually, this isn't how space works. Read a book.
Yeah.
They come back. He's like, thanks for mansplaining. He's like, can you mansplain a little louder? He's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
My favorite Colin Robinson comeback in this episode was, if my pencil is a dick, why am I using a keyboard to write? I was like, that's actually really
good. Yeah.
That reminded me so much of that Simpsons line from Milhouse where he says, from the cars from Cars, if gasoline is their food, why do they have teeth? I quote that all the time.
You shouldn't start asking questions about their cars.
No.
The biology of yeah. those cars. It's a rabbit hole.
Upsetting.
I mean, there are baby cars, which does imply the existence of like,
car sex.
Car fucking, yeah.
Parkourness.
I mean, that happens now. I don't know what you guys are. It's not funny or anything.
Yeah.
But,
think about
yeah.
it. I don't know.
Excuse me, what it. Happens now?
It's perfectly normal, car.
Not doing it?
You should know, car son.
Oh!
Son of car.
Boom!
Yeah.
His father was a car.
Yeah.
I do want to point out a tiny little detail in that the Colin Robinson scene too. So when he makes the point that the energy isn't as pure, they play the little like sting where it's like the thing where he like yes. is sucking energy, but like he only does like a little recoil and his eyes don't like turn.
Oh,
that's
a which good I was like, point. Okay, that you're showing what you're saying at the same time. I was impressed.
Pretty nice.
Snaps.
I love the thought that's put into this show.
Good show,
even on a mid-tier episode.
I've read a couple of reviews this episode from like just various websites, and it seemed like other people agreed that this was like, I guess it was like compared to the other episodes of season two, just kind of mid. It seemed like there's a general consensus.
I think Colin Robinson carries it, and I also think the slight like weird Guillermo Nandor tension carries it. But the actual, like, I don't care about Nick Kroll's character.
Yeah, the main plot is not the best part or the main focus of... It probably won't be the main focus of what we talk about, to be quite honest,
no,
listener.
I mean...
Buckle up. Richie explained the plot. You understand it. You watched the episode.
Have you guys been internet trolls, or have you been the subject of internet trolling? Let's discuss.
I don't post. I make it like a rule not to post on the internet. Like, the only time I'll ever send anything is like if I'm DMing somebody. Generally, I mean, I do post very infrequently, and really only in like response to like the TikToks that Claire posts. I try to
you do comment on them. Yeah,
I try.
But that is the only real context in which I comment regularly on the internet.
Mm. I've done once.
I'm a lurker.
Oh,
what? Rich? It was not really though. It was like, I mean, everything I'm going to say is going to be very boring. Everton signed a new manager at the time, Carlo Ancelotti, and there is a photo.
Your name
of
is Ancelotta.
Ancelotti, Carlo Ancelotti is the current manager of Real Madrid. Don't know why.
You mean like the little fishies that you put on pizza?
Yes. Cool guy.
Perfect.
Though.
Okay.
But there is a picture of him in Everton's rival stadium, Liverpool is their rival, pointing at a sign in their stadium that said, "This is Anfield," which is the name of the stadium they play at. Somebody posted that, and I replied with a photo of Carlo Ancelotti, the same photo, but it was photoshopped for the sign where it just said, "This is Everton's old ground." Because for those of you who don't know, Everton used to play in Anfield. But then they raised the rent on them too much. Or like, so yeah, we're not going to pay for this. So they went and they played somewhere else. And then since they didn't have a team to play that stadium anymore, they just made a new team. And that ended up being Liverpool. But that the numbers, I got 40 likes. So
now this is
incredible.
We do a little trolling. Wow. We do a little trolling.
As a treat? Yeah.
I think that Claire brought this up just because she wanted to give her story. And I'd like
I really didn't. I really wanted.
Oh, do you have a story? I had no idea.
I did used to, I feel like I probably was a troll. I like had internet access far too early as a child. And I was pretty mean.
Yeah.
I did used to bully people on Club Penguin.
So.
No.
Please
there
do
is
whatever.
A story there, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I would just like go to the igloos and be like, "Your igloo's shit. Like, your igloo sucks."
Claire, you're not allowed to use language.
No, though. I'd be like
on Club Penguin.
Yeah, well, see, what would happen is like, you know how people would dance in the town square and be like, hear ye, come to my igloo," and then I'd go to their igloo and I would wait for them to come, and then I'd just be like, "Yeah, like I don't like your igloo, like it's not very good," and I would leave.
That really hurts more. Like if you said your igloo's shit, like that doesn't really hurt.
Some 30-year-old pedophile really got their morality damage that day.
Yeah.
And then another time my friend and I, we went onto Twitch to see if anyone was streaming Club Penguin. And there was one guy, and we went into his world, and then we found him in the game, and then we said stream sniped.
That's really funny. That's really funny, right?
Yeah. twitch.tv/this, by the way. Matt, so blur that out. Get rid of the my actual name part. Just great game.
Well, so I guess we've all I guess mostly Richie's been a troll.
And Matt, have you been a troll?
Oh yeah, sorry, Matt.
No.
Yeah,
I don't believe this.
Doesn't surprise me.
But I feel like Matt would like get deep into a Reddit of like some like very esoteric like psychology concept.
Mm. No, and,
like,
I
like, nope. Really go ham on somebody for being stupid.
I just get mad at people in real life. Should we
continue with the episode?
Back to the episode.
Yeah.
Well, they it's back to the scene in the sewer where we find out that the only remains of what's his name, Simon the Devious. I was just gonna call him Nick Kroll. Simon the Devious's crew are Count Rapula and Carol. And Carol be freaky, you guys.
Can Dude, we shout out how great the makeup was, though? Like the makeup of the artists, like great. They're really truly great.
Very Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
But also, sexy. Hey, what the fuck is Carol?
Can we talk about this for a second?
I have.
What is she? Yeah, like, she has
WTF is Carol.
Pale eyes and, like,
my headcanon is that, like, you know those the fish that, like,
the
are so deep in the ocean
yes,
that they don't have eyes?
Definitely looks like
That's interesting, Carson, because if she's been living in the sewer, I mean, that's a very, like, reasoned idea as to her
character
design.
No, I feel like there's a whole, like
society,
like society of people living in the sewer that look like her, like a whole society of vampires that have just like over the years like mutated into like sewer dwellers,
like Leela from Futurama. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Thought that was something, but wasn't.
I haven't seen that episode.
I mean, there are sewer people, Carson. So maybe there's a sewer society. So maybe there's a sewer vampire society as well.
Exactly.
Sorry. What are you talking about, Matt?
There's sewer people.
What do you mean?
It's estimated that somewhere near about 300,000 people in the United States live underneath the ground in some sort of sewer network.
300,000 people?
Oh no, wait. That might be including China. I think that's including China.
Do a lot.
I'm still need a fact check on this. This doesn't sound real.
A lot of people though.
Sewer people.
I heard it from Dan Schreiber once, so.
So it must be true.
Yeah. According to one source I found, it's about 3,000 in New York. So it's about 3,000 people in the United States. But in China, it's somewhere like 300,000 living in caves.
Whoa. So true. Anyway.
Well, my headcanon is there is a sewer society of vampires that look like Carol that we will see in the future.
I think that's actually a pretty good headcanon. Yeah. So Carol then becomes fixated on Guillermo and wants to I guess they think that she wants to eat him, but I think she actually just like thinks that he's a vampire slayer, which he is. But then Nandor says...
Competent character in the entire episode, probably the show.
I know.
Immediately she picks up that he's like the vampire slayer. Nobody else, everyone else is like, oh, no. Nah,
it's because her sewer society is better at it.
Her sense of smell's got to be pretty good.
That's
really good, Matt. Damn.
It's a good show.
Look at you.
I was just thinking about how Nandor is like talking about Guillermo. And he's like, yeah, like, you probably don't want to eat him. He's like the last donut in the display cabinet. And then Guillermo's face is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
He looks betrayed.
What is Simon's comment? It's like, no, don't eat. Something wrong.
Something wrong.
Damn.
I mean, it's an effective way of getting them not to eat Guillermo. But, like, damn. You really injured his feelings.
Is it effective? Like,
I mean,
it's a big.
Oh, I guess Carol did still try to. Well,
yeah, but she wasn't trying to eat him because he looked tasty. She was trying to eat him because of the whole vampire killer thing.
Slay. And then also Elvis is in the basement, which doesn't come back after this episode, I don't think.
It's such a wild pull, but I kind of loved it. I kind of loved it.
I don't know.
I just love the fact that he comes into the show. It's like, oh yeah, Laszlo made him a vampire in like the 70s. And then he disappears. Like, and shows back up in Simon the Devious' crew. And it's like, oh, you betrayed me. And then the absolute last we ever see of him.
I may be incorrect here, but I do think he might show up in the Home Improvement Simon the Devious episode.
Oh, is he in the crew?
Oh!
I think he may be.
Oh, I think he is, and I just like thought that was a one-off joke. I forgot that was set up earlier. Okay, good call, Rich. Good, I think that's true.
I definitely also forgot it was like a previous thing mentioned. I definitely thought it was like, oh, Elvis is here.
Okay, I feel like that episode though is far funny, or I recall it being funnier than this episode. And it is kind of like the recurrence of a plot device, but like the idea of like the Home Improvement show as a setup to get the witch's hat is so funny. Whereas this is just kind of like a low effort thing.
No, completely agreed. Because I was like, when you mentioned the Home Improvement episode, I was like, oh yeah, they do this again in the Home Improvement. But I like recall liking it so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like storylines that kind of continue out throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
So I feel like they kind of just have to like keep on to one, which is like the hat. The hat has just like become one. But
yeah,
I guess it doesn't really come into play too much afterwards until that episode.
I do have a thought about the IMDb page of the show though, which is that it could be better. They don't have
which is
very many act They don't have very many actors and stuff in there. Like, there's like a bunch of people in Simon the Devious's crew, and there's like a bunch of production staff, and there's only like the four main actors on there.
Boom, roasted. I'm like,
folks, we gotta give them credit where credit is due.
Agree. Who played Neil Patrick and Harris? I need to know.
Exactly.
I just want to shout out that Colin's profile pic on Facebook is a troll head. Rich, you shaking your head? Yeah, you're nodding really.
I also had that written down. I wanted to like see if I could get a screenshot, but Hulu wouldn't allow me to do so.
Yeah. And then also a line that I really liked is when this troll is you know, talking back to Colin Robinson and says that he lives in his mother's basement, and Colin types, "Actually, I live in my own basement, dumbass."
Yeah.
Which I guess Colin is true, because I think he does own the house, right? Like, he's the one who has it, right? Yeah, he has all the finances, so I guess that's true.
Mm. This isn't, I guess this isn't Colin Robinson related, but something I did think was funny was when Kroll, Simon the Devious, made that bat out of the sewer trash. I didn't think that was necessarily funny. I thought it was funny though when Nadja said that it's so pathetic and truly lovely.
But also, like, is that explained? Because the whole gimmick is that it kind of looks like the hat with the cloak on. So was he just gonna like swap it out for the hat? Like, what is the point of that?
I believe it was a token of appreciation for them letting him stay.
Well, that's what he claims, but I doubt that's that he's devious.
Oh,
famously, he's devious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I feel like you're right. I didn't even think about that. I thought it was just like a stupid like one-off like gag, but like maybe the intention was for him to like try to switch it out for the hat.
Little Indiana Jones like sandbag for the idol thing where he's swapping them out.
Honestly, maybe. I didn't even think about that.
I also, one of my favorite bits of this episode is when Laszlo is apologizing and he just says, "Sorry. Sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry."
Oh, yeah, no. I have that written down in iconic line reading.
The line reading is
an iconic,
so good.
"I'm sorry" line reading from Laszlo. He very quietly, like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And then, like, he gets, I couldn't quite hear you. And, like, Nadja chimes in, like, "Oh, I can't hear you either." And he blurts out with a very loud, proud, like, full Matt Berry line reading.
What do you say for the Minecraft movie?
Oh, I feel like all of the Simon the Devious episodes have like the best Matt Berry line readings.
Do they? What was in the last one?
I don't remember explicitly. Just I feel I have a good feeling about it.
I guess he has somebody to face off against, and so like maybe that's what it is.
Because I know in the most recent Home Improvement one, again we keep calling back to it because they're all so similar. I guess. I guess calling forward to it. But he they're in their like face off and he like yells "New York City." I can't do it. I can't do the accent.
Yes, I believe that's when he says, "You really are the most devious bastard in New York City." Whereas this one he says "New York City" in terms of like the hat, I believe he says, "You took it from me in New York City." So I guess that's a recurring theme as well.
Indeed.
Well, so the thing is for me is like, maybe that's supposed to run parallel, right? But these episodes are like entire seasons apart. So nobody's going to pick up on this unless you're insane. Oh, he's back.
He hath returned.
We'll see what happens. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Claire. I was kind of hoping you would run through.
No, you're good. Yeah, it just like seems weird. Like, I appreciate that these kind of run in parallel, like the New York City line and things like that. But like, unless you're binge watching it in a sort of weird dissecting format, unless you're like literally running a rewatch podcast like we are right now, nobody is gonna notice these things. I don't know.
That's very true.
Now that we're like most of the way through the episode, I did want to ask everyone like a really important question, which Claire, we talked about this, so anyone can answer. Did Boss Baby eat anything this episode?
I truly don't know how to answer this question.
How are we meant to interpret this, Matthew?
I think Boss Baby. I think he ate.
He ate.
Ate that shit up, yeah.
Like, Carson, have you ever seen Boss Baby
eat
anything?
Did not eat. I'm going to say Boss Baby did not eat this episode. And you know why? Because Guillermo
left nipple
used Axe body spray, and that's just a crime against humanity.
So did he do that?
I thought that was strange.
Yeah, you'd think it had better taste.
Wait, when did he do that?
When Carol's trying to eat him.
Yeah. He always says he uses it, so maybe he makes it up, but probably not.
Could be a lie.
I was like, you're not a 13-year-old boy, Guillermo. Like, this is not a middle maybe school
it's
locker room.
Maybe it is a signal of, like, he's been with a vampire for 10 years. Like, maybe it's a sign of his immaturity on the outside world. Or maybe it was just a wayline.
Yeah, or maybe he knows it's, like, bad, so he says that to even, like, deter her even
further. Yeah, I think that's smart.
Like, don't like, smell this me. Is, like, I know it's terrible.
This is Lynx Africa by Axe right here. Like,
well, the joke is, she goes, I think the line before it is, you smell like death, and he goes, oh, that's just my Axe body spray.
It's pretty good.
Which I think is kind of funny, but...
Look, folks, he doesn't make money. He's gotta buy what's on the shelf.
But I'm balling on a budget too. You can buy better than Axe body spray.
No, Carson. He's balling on negative budget. He's paying to work.
Just real quick. Never thought I would hear Carson say, "Yeah, I'm balling on a budget too."
Balling on a budget. Get
out
of here.
Slipped out of his lips just so easily. He said it before. The way he said that, he said that phrase before.
Florida has changed you.
My God.
I practiced it in my head.
For the listener, Carson's wearing several gold chains with his name emblazoned on them. He is balling on a budget.
Yep. He's been getting
there's one that says car and the other says sun.
Yeah, but they're on the backwards.
But actually, Richie, they say cars and on.
Ah. Apologies.
Only if you look in a mirror.
And if he's driving, he reverses them, so it's on cars, baby.
Nosrek.
Carson's actually been getting an oil foot massage the entire episode here as a total baller.
From whom? Okay, Colin, also, just want to shout out Colin. Kind of a great geolocator. He should go work for like Bellingcat or something. Like, he geolocates this troll man and like hacks stuff.
Yeah.
I was like kind of impressed. And then the troll man just like gives him the address, like that guy in Club Penguin Rich, but
yeah.
Similar parallels. Yeah, he's like, do you guys know who like Rainbolt is? He's like the geo
only from you.
He's the kid who's like really good geoguesser TikTok and stuff. And now he's like finding like viral clips and like finding where they happen on like Google Maps. They should work together.
Has that ever happened to you guys? Because one time there was a clip that I saw in like a some sort of like comedy compilation thing, and I saw it and immediately I was like, oh, that's like Pan Am Shopping Center in Northern Virginia. And I like looked in the background and I was like, that is the Michaels and Pan Am Shopping Center. Super
that's
weird.
Madness.
Yeah,
I mean that... I guess if it's somewhere you know. Yeah,
Lazlo gets fucking bodied by a bunch of cars because they're fighting over the hat.
That was insane.
He just keeps flipping and getting hit by more cars.
Some stellar
I couldn't tell if it was really bad or good CGI.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was made for the small screen, I believe.
Yeah. And then
Just a little shout out. There was an establishing shot of the house at one point that was one we haven't seen since like the first ever episode, which is the shot of the actual house that they like filmed some exterior scenes in or exterior scenes at that they like obviously built a set out somewhere else. But there's a nice little throwback to remind us of the exterior of the home.
I also have something that I don't think you should really. I don't really get. I think it adds much. So get ready to cut it. But I had an episode idea when watching
this show. Oh, this is great. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it. This is fun.
It's very, very like plain. It needs to be expanded upon. But I thought it'd be funny if there is like Laszlo somehow becomes aware that Pete Davidson is called the King of Staten Island. I don't know. I think that could go somewhere. He thinks he's like an actual king. Who the hell is him? Something like that. I thought we got rid of kings. I don't know.
He looks there's something like there. Pete there's something there. Scrawny frame, and he's like, this guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is actually a lot there.
Thank you.
Maybe he has to pay tribute, yeah.
Do you think Laszlo is a royalist?
He left England, maybe.
Yeah, he probably made so much money from the royal family.
Well, that's probably fair, yeah.
Isn't he a lord or some? His family definitely has, like, property.
No, he was Jack the Ripper.
Well, but he was also in high society and had to renounce it, if you'll recall, because to be with Nadja.
Oh. Mm. I didn't recall that, but okay.
Can I also just, like, before we get to the end bits, just shout out another little piece of vampire lore that we learned. Because, what's his fucking face? Nick Kroll? Simon the Devious? Sorry. Simon the Devious. When he transforms, he's wearing the hat, which is cursed. And when he transforms back from a bat into a human, his, like, foot fuses through the metal. Because I guess he isn't cautious enough when he transforms back into a human. And I just thought that was interesting. It's kind of like getting splinched in Harry Potter, if you will.
It's like that one D&D move that you can do. That I can't remember the name of.
You'll have to be more specific.
I do not know what you're talking
Mage
about.
Mage hand.
No, I can't remember what it is. You know what I mean.
We don't, but okay.
I really don't, anyway, bud, but...
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah, Matt, good job.
Wait, also, another thing that I want to discuss with the group is, like, the only thing that I found, like, actually kind of, like, narratively interesting in this episode to me is how the dynamic between Guillermo and Nandor shifts a little bit. Because this is the moment where so Guillermo kills Carol and, like, actually admits that to Nandor. And Nandor, like, realizes that Guillermo was a vampire killer and becomes very, like, kind of uneasy around him. And they have several scenes where he's looking a little bit nervous. And I find that so interesting because it is a complete reversal of their dynamic in this, like, one episode, kind of in the background of, like, all of this plot happening that's not super interesting. I don't know. It's a kind of a weird way to do it.
Like, I definitely thought that, like, the revealing of Guillermo to have killed the vampire would have definitely had, like, more of its own kind of, like, focus for the show. Like, right. It kind of just happened. Yeah. It was kind of, like, glossed over. Like, it wasn't, like, a huge, like, part of the actual episode, which was a bit surprising.
Yeah, but Nandor didn't really seem to care that much. He just, like, didn't want anyone to know because he said it would reflect poorly on him.
Yeah. Nor did Guillermo killing Carol really have any effect on the episode whatsoever.
No, that's actually a good point, yeah.
But we did get the very funny scene of where, or the very funny moment where Guillermo, this is probably what you're talking about, Claire, says, like, sure thing, or whatever, master, and then puts, like, the sticks on Nandor's chest, and they just have that moment where they stare at each other and back away. Yeah. I think that was very, very good. Very, very good physicality.
And then later, like, they're leaving Nicrol. Nope, Simon the Devious. And Guillermo asks, like, oh, is he gonna drown? And Nandor says, why are you so interested in how vampires are killed now? It's just kind of good.
The last thing I have, which might not be at all relevant, but I would be remiss if I did not mention the fact that I don't really, I don't know, when A and B plots for an episode don't line up over a span of time, like a consistent span of time, and they just kind of flip back and forth between, like, what is clearly one night and what is clearly not that same night, it really throws me off in a weird way. So, like, this episode specifically, because it's like, oh, Simon the Devious, like, that's all, like, a one night thing, versus the whole shtick with Colin Robinson, who the episode kind of lines up with Colin Robinson a little bit, because he's like, oh, I heard Guillermo fall down the stairs, but then it's daytime when he leaves. And it kind of didn't make any sense timeline-wise.
Oh, that actually is a good point, Carson. And that's not something that I think I would ever have really picked up on.
It's daytime when he leaves the house, and then it's nighttime when he meets the troll, and then it turns back to daytime. And I'm like, I just the whole timeline of that episode and A and B plots intersecting was very confusing to me.
Just kind of makes me wonder how they write the episodes. Like, did they come up with this, with the one plot, the Simon the Devious plot, and then someone's like, oh, like, we have this back burner, like, Colin Robinson bit that's funny, and, like, he's not really in this episode, and, like, we can shoot Mark Proch separately, or something. Like, it just, in terms of production, it's I don't know. It just seems like they kind of fit a couple Lego pieces together.
Sure, Andrew, but I would be more okay if the storylines didn't touch. But because they touch when Gamble falls...
I see what you mean.
I'm like, it just really throws me off. That I'm like,
yeah,
it's just the timeline is not at all consistent for the episode.
That was a choice.
It was a choice.
All right, who wants to fag it up first during Pride Month and give their gating?
Woo!
Richard?
I don't think that's how it works. I guess I have to listen, though. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Hey, Rich. This is your one pass. You can say the word if you want.
Stop it.
Don't get Rich in trouble. We've already
Matt, blur this. Matt, clip this out. Clip this out. No, I'm not
going to. Matt, I swear, please just put a bleep right in your head.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it dirty like that.
Do like an AI voice replicator of me. There's probably is enough collected audio to actually have something like that. Although I do remain kind of quiet during these, but
is this the future of podcasts?
Yeah. Just have one of the hosts just saying slurs the time.
Very quietly saying slurs throughout the whole episode.
Yeah. Should I do IMDb?
No, do your rating.
Do your rating first.
Oh, my straight rating.
Yes.
It was pretty straight. I don't know. Nothing about it was particularly unstraight. There was even a point where Nadja was thought that Laszlo was maybe jealous of Simon the Devious because she thought that Simon the Devious could somehow take Nadja from him. He's pretty protective over Nadja, not the hat. I thought that was probably pretty straight.
Pretty straight.
So for my straighting, I guess I'll just go 2,500 of the 3,000 estimated sewer people living in New York City.
Damn, that was good.
I think for my, I'm going to do a gating instead of a gluten-free rating because it's Pride Month. And my gating, I think that it's not super gay, but also I think the dynamic between Andor and Guillermo shifting is interesting in this episode. So I'm going to give it 1 out of the 3 of the iconic trio, Neil, Patrick, and Harris.
I will concur. It is a fairly straight episode. Also given the fact that Nandor mentions a potential girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
For Guillermo, midst episode.
Boo.
So I'm going to give it a 0 out of 1 stone troll penis.
God.
Good.
This episode, I will say, was very not gay. So I will give it probably, I'll just say, 2 out of however many racial slurs Colin Robinson said online / Richie right before the lead up to the segment.
What, doing our boy dirty?
Yeah. Rich, what do we got on IMDb, bud?
Good question.
It's salts.
You don't hear any background noise from me, right?
Nope.
No.
Okay, my sister's too much noise, in the shower.
Not background.
Currently listening. My sister's in the shower listening to Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel. And these went through the initial sax solo. So I've
that's madness. God bless her.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do the reviews. So I guess there's only 3 reviews for this show. One is a newcomer, at least to me. Very short review, 10 out of 10. Hilarious. Very, very generic. But one you guys are all here for. Why you tune into the podcast every single...
Yep.
I would say week, but it's not week. Every single certain amount of a lot day. Of time.
However much time we take to get a record.
Yeah, insert number of days since we last recorded here.
Mm-hmm.
This is His Sauce, of course. The Gang's All Here is what they have titled their review. Laszlo's hat is at the center of the episode this time. The rocker who was blown up in the city while back returns with his crew. The best part of this is the set of names, including Neil, Patrick, and Harris.
Yes! Yes!
He gets it. He gets it. And Sauces gets it. There's even a guy named Rapula
And if we wonder what happened to Elvis, .. Well,
is that it?
Well,
there are trips through the sewers. There's a female vampire who is uglier than anything we've seen before. Poor Guillermo.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
He's the only one with human blood, and she is interested in him. He must defend himself. Ultimately, there is a battle of the bats to retain control of the witch hat. Pretty decent offering. Insane.
Pretty decent offering?
Also, correct me if I'm wrong. Simon the Devious was a DJ, correct?
Yeah, I don't know
why he's a DJ. In New York City in the first episode?
I think he may just be a rock
club owner. He has a club. He like owns a club.
Oh, yeah. He owns a club. You're right. Where did he get rocker from then?
He's just
a lot. Sick clothes. There's a lot to ask. Where did Hitch House get this from? And yeah. I don't think there's really an answer that will ever
no
answer.
No clear explanation.
I just really one day hope upon hope that Hitch House watches this podcast, listens to the podcast.
There's no chance, but I also hope this.
We're just going to email one day. Like, why are you reading my reviews on your podcast?
I hope people from Claire's work listen to the podcast.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
If you work with Claire, please email us. BrainsFamilies@gmail.com.
No,
BrainsFamiliesPod@gmail.com. I don't, Claire, plug in the real.
Let us know what you think about Claire as a coworker as well.
Yeah, my performance review.
Let's see some performance reviews right here.
Yeah. Give your gating and rating of Claire as a coworker.
We're gonna turn that email into a normal gossip podcast and into a normal gossip email. So like, just give us all the Claire gossip.
Guys, yeah, I'm delightful at work. People love me.
The best they review we'll get. Sorry.
No.
What, Rich?
It's fair.
I was gonna say the best email will get featured in the upcoming newsletter.
Oh shit. I forgot we said we would do that.
Also, when I read the Hit Sauce reviews, part of me like during that was like narrowing my own voice like back to me while I was reading in like the voice of like Gwyneth Paltrow. Just like you know that line she said like we had many epiphanies. That kind of like it's like that clip of her. Yeah. Like in that kind of tone. Exactly.
Oh my god.
Or like the Nicole Kidman AMC commercial.
Oh yeah.
That's where we come to cry.
Obsessed.
But, sorry, this song has changed to. It's Funky Cat by Elton John, but it's not Elton John. I don't know who's singing it. Sorry, my sister singing it.
Gwen.
But this episode, by the way, was tied for the lowest rated episode of the season.
Really?
Oh,
what's
really?
The other one?
On IMDb. Ghosts.
People didn't like Ghosts.
Oh, really?
7.9, yeah.
I mean, still pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghosts is better than this, though, because, like, Ghosts actually takes a big swing and is like, let's introduce an interesting concept. And, like, I think maybe not the strongest executed, but this one, like, the concept is so kind of boring. I'm just like, whatever.
The only good thought about this was the B-plot of Colin Robinson.
Yes.
Kind of felt like this episode maybe isn't too great. Let's just make sure Colin Robinson does something really funny.
Yeah, let's put him in there. Throw our boy in there. He's always making me laugh.
Secret weapon.
I just want to shout out that not this podcast, but the other podcast that Matt and I do occasionally when I get around to editing episodes, somebody in real life listened to a over 2 hour episode of it and then referenced it back to Matt, which is deeply alarming.
Wait, hold up. What happened, Matt?
Carson, it was...
Excuse me? Did he know you were on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah.
Okay, he found it through you. Okay.
So I had mentioned this, I mentioned the podcast and I mentioned, oh, like Sonic 2, haha. And then the next time I saw him, he came at me with a line that I remembered from the movie that I thought was really funny. And he just said, oh, hey, but are they good at math? Which is a fucking killer line from Sonic 2. And it sent me reeling. I told him I did not say anything other than I don't know how to respond to you for the next like 30 minutes. Because it was so genuinely startling.
Insane.
Yeah. So that could be like if you, you know, come, you know, like that, what was that cringy ass thing they used to have about like on Reddit that was like, if you like
the narwhal bacons at midnight, is that what you're talking about?
One of those stupid fucking things. But are they good at math? If you say that to one of us, we'll know you're a listener.
We've got to come up. If somebody says boss baby eat anything to us, we'll know that you're a real one.
If someone makes, hey, for fan art, make a have you ever seen boss baby eat anything t-shirt design. Nobody will buy it, nor nobody will buy it, nor will we probably actually sell it. But please use the fun prompt
for our own amusement, which is about 90% of the things we do on the show, or just for our own. Actually, 100% of the things we do on the show are just for our own amusement. We would love that.
We really enjoy when people send us stuff, so please.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Brain Scramblies. We know it was a little bit of a delay between last one and this one, but thank you for sticking it out. If you want to catch up with us, our handle is at @scramblies_pod on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want a shout out at the beginning of the show, we love to hear your thoughts at brainscramblespod@gmail.com. And next, whenever we record an episode, we will be watching season 2, episode 8. That's a different episode in season 2 that we'll probably like better than this one. I never look up the name and it's fine.
We'll do the same thing with me, just saying the name.
Yeah.
I'll do it right now. Okay. Collaboration.
I in the Club Penguin rewritten, I used to play it at like this club meeting that I had in college, and we would like be playing it on the screen, and I thought, because it was like a new one, I thought that you could curse, so I said something, I just said like cunt or something, insta ban 48 hours, and there's this photo of me like cradling my head in my hands.
Oh, yeah,
so sad, with a little Snapchat that says like Claire got a 48-hour Club Penguin ban, and it's still in my Bumble bio because I thought it'd be funny anyway.